Will you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'll never forget my first winter with a driver's license. I'll never forget it because it was only a couple of months after I'd gotten my driver's license and I was off to go visit a friend. And I went around a turn, and instead of me taking the turn took me. I was driving my old 1994 pickup truck, Ford Ranger. Yes, I drove a Ford once, Barry. And I remember going in slow motion. Maybe you've had this experience. You're driving, and suddenly the car isn't doing what it's supposed to do, and everything slows down. I remember going like this, and the car going like this. And I look, and I saw those yellow arrows coming very quickly, and then one after another, they went under the truck. And I sat in the ditch, in the cold, in the snow, and thought, well, now what? I don't know how long it was. It felt like hours, but I sat there, probably really only a couple of minutes, and wondered, okay, so what do I do now? Do I stay in the ditch? Do I get out? Do I go wait for find somebody who can help nearby? Or do I walk home and call my dad and have him come and get me? And then together we can go and pull the truck out. Like I said, I don't know how long I sat in that ditch making this decision because I really wondered what to do because this was in the days before cell phones. Yes, I am old enough to remember those days and have had a driver's license then. What I decided to do is I would walk to the nearest house. I would knock on the door and see if anybody was home. And so I remember walking to the door, and this was a white house. It had a nice front porch. They had a barn out to the side. And I'd driven past this place many, many times, but I'd never stopped. Because I didn't know the people who lived there. They were strangers to me. So I knocked on the door, and I don't remember who came to answer, but I said what had happened, and I asked if I could use their phone, and they said, oh, no, you don't need to use the phone. It's okay. Follow me. They took me out to this barn that was off to the side, and inside were four or five guys working on a car. And they said, oh, we can get you out, no problem. And they went, and they brought a tractor, because I was out in what passed for country near where I grew up. And they pulled me out of the ditch. And I drove my truck home with its brand new dents. Later on, my dad came home from work, and I told him about what had happened, and he said, well, did you give them anything to thank them? And I said, well, no, I didn't think about that. He said, you need to go and say thank you at least. I said, well, I said thank you. He goes, go do it again. So the next day, when the ice had melted, because, you know, the middle of the day, that's what happens sometimes, I drove down and I pulled over to the house and I knocked on the door and no one was there, so I went over to the garage and there they were again working on cars. And I said, I just wanted to say thank you. I appreciate you guys helping me out because I'm just a dumb kid who doesn't know how to drive in the winter here. And they said, oh, no worries. That's just what people do for one another, especially out in the country. You help each other when you see someone in need. And that's what they had done. And I went back thinking, what a valuable lesson I had learned that first winter driving in Michigan. You don't have to have ever lived up north to know what it's like to be in a ditch, though. And I'm not talking just a literal ditch, maybe that too, but you know somebody or you know from your own experience what it's like to be in a place of need, to be vulnerable, to be in that place where you have no control, and you need help. Maybe that place has happened recently for you, lying in a hospital bed, and the doctors and nurses come in, and they poke, and they prod, and they wake you up all hours of the night and tell you what you can and can't do. Maybe you've been in that place financially where you wonder whether or not you should buy the jacket for winter or pay for rent this month. Maybe you've been in that ditch where it looks like there's nothing you can do to get out. Your relationships keep pushing you back into the ditch. Your self-destructive patterns of relationship, of being in life, keeps guiding you right into that ditch like the ice did me. We all know what it's like to be in a ditch. Whether that ditch is a literal ditch on the side of the road, or a metaphor for addiction, or self-abusive behavior, or any number of other things that can come our way in this life. We know what it is to be vulnerable, because we are. As human beings, we are vulnerable. And so we try to defend ourselves from that vulnerability by being very careful lawyers. And we go to Jesus and we ask Jesus, what do we have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, what does the law say? And we give him the answer because we all know those answers. Love God, love your neighbor. He says, good, go do that. Well, but Jesus, wait a minute. Let's talk about definitions here for a minute. Who's my neighbor? Right? We always quibble over words, right? We like to do that because it justifies our behaviors of who we count in and out of the circle of care. And so we, like that lawyer, go to Jesus and we say, who's my neighbor? And Jesus, being Jesus, doesn't answer us with a straight answer. He answers us with a story. And I know Linda just read the story, but I'm going to tell it again. Because it's important that we think about this story. There was a man who was traveling up from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And he was traveling through the Judean wilderness, which is full of hills and mountains and scary places for people to hide. And he was attacked by bandits. He was stripped, robbed, beaten, and left bleeding on the side of the road. Vulnerable in a ditch. And along came a priest. A priest, the person whose job it is to point out where God is. The person whose job it is to connect divine with reality, to best exhibit what it means to be a follower of God, a servant of God. And he saw the man lying in the ditch, and he did the thing. Well, he didn't do what he was supposed to do, did he? He said, man, went as far away over as he could, and then he kept going. And then just a short while later, another person came by, a Levite, a descendant of Levi. The person whose job it was to care for the temple, the place that reminds us God is here and in our midst. And he did the same thing. He looked at the guy that was on the side of the road, said, no thank you, went over there and kept going. But then a third guy comes by. Number three. Three's important in the Bible, isn't it? So the third guy comes by. This person is an apostate. This person is a Samaritan. The very thing that all of Israel points to when they think of rebellion against God. The person responsible for the exile. The most hated people to the Jews at that time. And I'm not particularly like today either. Saw the man in need. And went and helped him. Now we need to stop here and think about this, because what is going on? First, we can understand the priest and the Levite doing that, because what happens sometimes is bandits would leave somebody who was in need and barely alive so that they would be bait for the next mark. Let that be okay and think about. Let that sink in for a second. They did the responsible thing by going away and keeping going. They did what you hear on every airline. Make sure your own air mask is fit and safely secure before affixing it to your neighbor, right? The Samaritan made himself vulnerable by entering into the dangerous place where this guy was on the side of the road and helped him. Gave him a ride to the nearest place where he could heal. And then paid the bill. And said, if anything else comes up, open a tab for me. And I'll pay that when I come back this way. The Samaritan did that. And the people of God stayed away. And Jesus finishes this story not with an explanation of who we should be or what should go on. He doesn't say anything bad about the priest or the Levite. He just asks a simple question to the lawyer. Who behaved like a neighbor? And the lawyer answers, the answer we all know because the story that we call it, the Good Samaritan, behaved like a neighbor. The one who showed mercy is how the lawyer answers in my translation. And Jesus tells the lawyer, go and do likewise. This story is about mercy. This story is about how we treat people when they're vulnerable. We enter into the vulnerability so that we can be with them and care for them and give them a place of healing and wholeness. Who is my neighbor? My neighbor is the one who is in need of mercy. That's whom we love. I've said it before. Every one of us knows what it's like to be in a ditch. We've all been there. We've all been in that place where we've been beaten, wounded, lying in a place of vulnerability, just hoping somebody will come along. Maybe crying out for help and nobody stops. In need of love. And our God is the God who hears our cries. Our God is the God who heard the cries of the people who were beaten and wounded in Egypt and delivered them. Our God, according to what we understand of Jesus, is the one who has a flock of 99 sheep. And notices the one that's missing, leaves the 99, and gets the one that has wandered its way into a ditch, and brings it back. This is the sort of God we worship, the sort of God we've gathered together to sing praises for and reflect on, the sort of God we serve. The God who shows mercy, who enters into our vulnerability to deliver us. Oh, sure, we may insulate ourselves to pretend like we're not vulnerable, like we don't need God, to try and keep ourselves out of the ditch. We have arrows that let us know that there's a turn coming. We may accumulate vast amounts of wealth and pay all sorts of money to insurance companies to make sure that we're safe and secure. We pay a monthly premium to AAA just in case anything bad might ever happen while we're on the road because nobody shows up like AAA. We armor ourselves in all of our relationships so that we don't have to make ourselves vulnerable. But all of this only shows just how vulnerable we are. Because the only reason we need any of these protections is because we identify our need for help. We identify the opportunity for other people to hurt us. And we try to protect ourselves from that. But, friends, we are indeed vulnerable. We are in need of each other and we are in need of God. And we've known what it's like for God when God shows up in our need. We know what it's like to be in the ditch and have somebody with a tractor come and pull us out. We know what it's like to be in a hospital bed and have somebody come in and pray with us. We know what it's like to have nothing And then suddenly someone shows up and says, "Can I take you out to lunch?" We know this. And this is how we know God loves us. Because God shows up in our need and delivers us, provides for us, nurtures us, and brings us back into relationship. Because that's the sort of God we worship, the sort of God we serve. And that's what we do as a church. We have been loved and shown mercy. Therefore, we show love and mercy to others. I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but for the last several months, we've had a team of people that we've called the Vision Team, working on sort of getting to the core of who we are as a church here. What is First United Methodist Church of Bonita Springs? What's the central piece of who we are? They've been taking the thing that we have in our bulletin, which I'm sure none of you look at because it's on the side with the picture instead of the side with all the words. And on the front, it has our vision and our mission. And I'm willing to bet none of y'all have that memorized. They've been taking that complicated thing that's there and looking at it and saying, well, how can we say this easier? Who are we as First United Methodist Church of Bonita Springs? And they've come up with a vision that they think captures who we are. Our job is to share God's love so others experience Jesus. That's what God's vision is for us. The reason we're here is to share God's love. And it looks a whole lot like that Samaritan who showed mercy to the person in need. It looks a whole lot like a group of people gathering together to pull somebody out of a ditch when all they can see is life in the ditch. This is sharing God's love. And so, brothers and sisters, as a church, this is what we do. We have seen what God's love is, and we have experienced it because God has delivered us time and time again. I don't know about you, but it doesn't just have to be an icy road for me to find my way into a ditch. I'm a sheep. I'm prone to wander, as the hymn writer wrote. Prone to leave the God I love. And God comes and brings me back again and again and again. No matter how deep the ditch, no matter how far I wander, that's what love is. And that's who God has called our church to be. A church that shares that love. And there are so many ways we do it. So many ways that we share God's love. We reach out to people who are in educational ditches, sitting down and tutoring students, helping them to remember what their teacher said about multiplying fractions. Sometimes having them help us remember so that we can help them remember. Every time you scoop some salad onto a plate at Cafe of Life, you are sharing God's love. Every time you carry a tray with three or four plates on it, whether it's at our breakfast or at Cafe of Life, because there is a mother who has too many children to corral to carry her own plates, you are sharing God's love. Every stitch in a blanket is sharing God's love. Every conversation about what God is doing, about what your church here in Bonita Springs is doing, is sharing God's love. Every AA meeting that takes place here, that you all foot the bill for their electricity and wear and tear on this building, is sharing God's love. Every time you sit down with a scout and teach them one of those skills that you learned so long ago that you take for granted, you are sharing God's love. And all of this is so that other people might experience God's presence. brothers and sisters, we know what it's like to be in a ditch and be in need. And we know what it's like when someone shows up to help us and shows love toward us in our vulnerability. Therefore, we go and do likewise. We go and we show mercy. We don't really count whether they're deserving of mercy or not. We show mercy. We don't ask them to explain their theology to us. We show mercy. We don't tell them they're right or they're wrong. We don't ask them what they understand of God or what their religious beliefs are. We show mercy. Because that's who we are and who God has called us to be. Because Jesus told his disciples, they will know you, they will know me by how you love one another. And so friends, let us love in radical, amazing ways. We are already doing it. Let's keep it up. Amen.